welcome to an episode of Toronto Ultra's Merc and Maven podcast. We know it's been a bit, but we are back. Lots to cover, some exciting and crazy news sort of out of nowhere. But we're going to touch on the league, some of the CDL stuff, and have a fantastic time. Joe, how you doing, sir?
We are. I'm doing well. Yeah, it has been some time. You want to update them on you being an athlete?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I don't really know what happened. I'll be honest with you. I went to the doctor, and I weighed in. I don't usually have a scale. I weighed in at like 260, which is the heaviest I've ever weighed. And I was like, what the fuck? And then my addictive personality suddenly decided to, I didn't want to be fat and unhealthy. So I've been doing Peloton bike like 30 to 45 minutes every single day. Joe and I walk like 4 miles a night, been lifting, feeling good, honestly. I literally feeling the best I've felt in a long, 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 long time. Yeah,
like the video just because of that right there.
Like 12 pounds or something so far, and yeah,
he's trying to look his best for the next major in Toronto. That's what he's trying to do. That's really what it is. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, we're casting again, casting full time. That's been fun. Loved going to the studio. Had a great major too. Yeah, the only thing going on in this house right now is my wife and kid got sick these last couple of days. So just helping out where I can. I have avoided this plague for now. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, because if you get it, I'm probably going to get it. So keep that battle going, buddy.
Yep. I'm battling. I got my fluids, my vitamins. I'm locked and loaded.
Perfect. And the only other thing we've really been doing is playing Helldivers, which has been a lot of fun. It's been so fun.
Killing bugs, so fun. Killing robots, killing each other almost every day.
Yeah.
It's been a good time. Good switch up from COD.
No, it really, really has been. But yeah, I'm sure we'll be back on the Ranked or Warzone grind soon enough. But let's get into it. Yeah, so we were going to do the episode last week, and then I think there was a mix-up with times or something with the producer. And
worked out.
This week, and it worked out, yeah, because an announcement comes out yesterday, which we're going to go through from the CDL. You know, some of this, Joe and I have known has been in the works for a long time. Some stuff we didn't really know, but let's kind of go through the CDL announcement. First big thing, outstanding entry fees will be eliminated and any fees previously collected from teams will be returned in full. It says, while we paused collection of these payments years ago, what's interesting about this is like, dude, Joe and I've been going through a little bit because just due to some relationships we have, we've known this for a long time. Like, you know, the league came out, COVID hit. We knew that payments paused a long time ago. And
it's not $300 million league.
It was tough sometimes to see, you know, people throwing around numbers and what's happening with this money and how they're using the money when, like, we knew for a long time that the payments got paused. But, you know, you can't blame people for comments because they didn't know, sure. Obviously. It's just one of those things. Nobody had any idea. But sometimes it's just tough, you know, when it's just one of those days where everyone wants to bitch about everything with the league. And I'm just like, dear Lord. Yeah,
well, there were some updates because specifically around like Overwatch, that was a couple of years ago, like the Overwatch League and COVID payments were paused. But yeah, I think it's just I assume a lot of the agreements. Listen, you and I are we're just guessing. We're not involved in that stuff as much anymore. Yeah. We just hang out. We go and cast. We have fun. I assume just due to like how much year one to year two to COVID to year three, like the agreement probably. Is much different than the one that signed, right? So both parties are probably like, we're cool doing this thing this way. But yeah, this was not a $300 million league. There wasn't a giant pot of money that we were running. Well, the league was running events out of. I mean, this is great for the owners, you know, the teams. Get your money back. That's a W, first line.
No, 100%. And it's just... It's interesting because, you know, even though it said in the post that sort of like this has been the work for, you know, better part of a year, I think the conversations with the owners, that's true to kind of figure this exact thing out. But like this pivot's been happening for a long time where stuff's had to be figured out. As soon as this stuff came out about like Overwatch and you know, kind of franchise wanting out in the state of that, like we didn't have those issues in the sense like our franchises still wanted to be involved. Everyone still, I think, sort of feels like Joe and I always have, like we still haven't nailed this thing. When we do, the potential is unbelievable. Just the year-over-year titles, how much money is involved, the Call of Duty brand and fan base. Like, it seemed like a lot of them felt the same way. So we knew some changes were going to be made, 100%. But it seems like for the positive and for the future that a lot of stuff's starting to go down. Now, there's still a ton of details we're waiting on, I'm sure. But this is just some like high level stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's point one. Point two, this is great. Teams will earn increased revenue tied to the sale of their in-game merchandise, team bundles, and now the champs bundle as well. Massive W right there. No meaningful in-game bundles can be for teams, but we want to make sure they have increased ability to drive their own financial success. I mean, this is like, I think in terms of everyone's trying to figure out esports and how to succeed, but I think number one, it comes from the game. Right, that it always will be. Not, I'm not saying push the esport through the game, but you know, funds, how you support organizations, without a doubt, it comes from the game. So that's a big W there. Now, I will advise players to make sure they're always showing off their in-game merchandise, and don't say maybe have someone get on your account, unlock bundles that haven't come out yet, which is the dumbest thing in the world. Maybe market your in-game merchandise.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. No, and I think this makes a lot more sense, because I know, listen, was the whole, everything with franchising and the start of the CDL perfect? No, absolutely not. There's a lot of stuff that needed to be fixed, a lot of stuff that we wish was better. COVID derailed a lot, but I guess I always hoped that with a relationship like this, like I hope for the owners and for the franchises that, you know, one of the best things about Call of Duty is coming out every year, that part of the revenue the game makes every year would, even if it's a small, tiny fraction of a percentage, would go to the teams. But that was never really a thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it ever really was going to be a thing, but now at least, you know, if it ends up being this partnered ecosystem and they're getting more money with the merchandise, it makes a lot more sense in my head than maybe what I'd hoped originally.
Yeah. So another win. And I think just, other esports are setting the standard, right? They don't necessarily have, some have franchises, others just have partnered. You know, if you look at like Halo, they're also updating or making newer bundles. Like, it'd be cool to see maybe a couple of bundles, whatever. I mean, the fact we have it each year, that's a step in the right direction for now. Yeah, we'll get there before, like, you know, now they'll have their own creativity. That's a good sign. But yeah, baby steps, but steps. Number three, recognizing that hosting large events are vital to teams in the CDL community. We will increase existing event subsidy amounts for teams organizing live in-person events such as majors, opens, and champs. I think if you look at year one, and we were just talking about this, the league really wasn't supposed to even step on events at all, right? This teams and owners were supposed to run the events. And then as we kind of shifted format with majors, and again, just who's like, what ended up happening is the league is like, hey, we'll help you out. We'll cover some funds and some payments because events are expensive. They are, right? You're starting, well, I mean, we even have this now with Carolina. We'll get to that. But every single year, I think maybe just some teams who weren't in this space, or maybe if you're one of the franchise lead teams who just happens to be a state that only has unions, right? It can get very expensive for absolutely no reason, but it can be tough to run events, so this is I think great for the teams again.
Yeah, and you know, this has been, you know, another just sort of frustrating thing sometimes when you're a little more in the know, as Joe and I sometimes are, is we knew this year was going to be kind of weird. I mean, this is an example. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, a lot they're trying to figure out, and I think, you know, this has been sort of a long time coming, this transition. So it's been tough when you only have four or five majors, and you know, one ends up in Columbus last year, and now what's going on? We'll talk about the Carolina thing, but as much as the structure I think is fine, it's just we want, you know, a couple more majors, and I think everyone will be way happier, right? Like shorten the all-in qualifiers, give us some more majors, some more lands, and I'm hoping
a couple pro-ams. Yes,
and hopefully this leads to it, because I don't think like the structure is that far off. I know there's been a lot of changes to it over the years. There has, but you know, some form of online league, some kind of majors, as far as the whole like relegation and what's going to go on with that and other teams getting in, that's a much bigger combo, and we'll wait on more details. But for now, just give us some more lands. And this sounds like it could head in that direction.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And then the last point from this little article, teams will receive a 2-year minimum guarantee of revenue so they can continue investing in the CDL with more peace of mind. Obviously huge there. I think kind of what we were talking about from point one, if you look at OWL, it just felt like owners wanted out, right? They very much were like, give us our money back, we're gone, buy type thing, right? Like this is a little bit different. It feels like the owners the people in the league, they're on board, right? They're on board with COD. They want to see it do right, but they love the fans, the engagement. Having a new game every year, it can hurt our esport, but it's also great for engagement.
Yeah.
This is just basically like, these teams, we got you for a couple of years.
I think that's the reason that I really came around to the kind of the yearly release, because, you know, not to knock Overwatch, like it's a great game. There's been a lot of great with it, but like you can't expect every game can't be League of Legends or CS. These games that sort of defy logic and last forever, like that's just not realistic. I think the Call of Duty thing's probably more realistic for longevity. So yeah, I think people see a lot of positives, and yeah, it seems people are excited, want to be involved, and see there's money to be made. So we'll see how it goes. But I mean, I think this was just sort of, I think everyone's still waiting on a lot more information, and you know, some people are jumping ahead of themselves with like, let's have 72 teams and this and that. Like, listen, there's a lot of things to figure out, a lot of details, but at least some high level information's out. It's cool to see a lot of positivity. I'm all about that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is what I would say. We're not really sure what's next, but people are I'm a social and Reddit. People are really jumping ahead. I would slow your thought process down quite a little bit. There may be some expansion next year. No idea. If I had to guess, because unfortunately a lot of people were let go, the CDL team is very small, I would imagine something like next year probably looks something similar to this year, maybe with a couple more events or something. I don't even know. But I'm just saying, I don't think we're going to have regional leagues across the world and we're adding 8 more teams. I think maybe now this finds some interest for some other teams that aren't in COD. But while this is great for the now, in terms of the expansion and what could happen, I would slow the roll a bit. Like this is good for everybody in the now, but future, nobody really knows.
I mean, I think for you and I, like shorter term, you know, over the next couple of years, like I'm just hoping we get something closer to like what we had in Black Ops 4, right? With like partner teams now in the picture. That's what I'm kind of hoping we'll get to. Some sort of relegation, more majors, a little more structure. I would love to have like a playoff and a true champs to come back. I don't know if that'll ever be a thing, but I would love that. But that's kind of a pipe dream for me at this point. It's kind of missing the old school champs, but just sort of, I hope we sort of transition closer to that. And then from there, we'll see. But
maybe we get a couple of pro-ams, maybe. I don't think the shift, I think it's gonna be slower than maybe people are imagining. That's what you have this. It all layoffs. You have a massive Activision is now owned by Microsoft transition merger, which is going to take years and years. This stuff's not going to just overnight happen.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, you know, you think about it and you're like, oh, this thing's been around for a long time. But in the scheme of things, it's still a baby. It is
still a baby.
Like, it's changed a lot. It's changed hands. Who's handling it a lot? We'll see. But I think overall, I think the good thing is, you know, sometimes it's just a lot of negativity. It's just nice to see people pumped up, and I think we're excited for the future, because ultimately, what did it say? Like, this is for hopefully longevity and stability, which I think is what we all want, and for us too, we just want to keep on button casting, so hopefully that is the thing.
Yeah, no, as it says, sort of a more peace of mind to invest in the league. So we've never had an update like this, so I think it's a great step for the league too, just PR wise getting it out there,
a little transparency. Yeah.
I mean, you and I didn't even know this was coming out.
that's like the one thing I would want. Like, you know, most of the stuff we like knew just from, you know, conversations over the years. But like, yeah, just I hate when I'm streaming and suddenly my chat's like, major CDL announcement. I'm like, I don't know if it's a troll or something actually came out. And I see it. I'm like, oh, wow.
Thoughts. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
That would have been cool to get an email or something about maybe whatever. Yeah. Whatever, it's a good thing, but we'll kind of move on to that and now sort of talk some other stuff that's been going on. Joe, what do you want to chat about next?
Some good and some bad coming up. Obviously, the Major Four announcement happens with Carolina. It sounds like it's going to take place now in a studio environment in Burbank. Number one, I'm upset I have to fly to California instead of North Carolina. We have been very lucky flying East Coast events, living in Ohio. Yeah. So yeah, it's just a little selfish one. Number two, I don't know how this happens again. I don't know. Because obviously I don't know the financials and stuff, but teams have to bid on this. I'm pretty sure you have to make an RFP, right? Like, I don't know what happens. Maybe something happened in their organization, but what really sucks too is like the one last year was what, a major two or three. This is the last one. This is literally going to be deciding the top eight seeds, and we're not gonna. And especially like we assume the mid, like the points are probably gonna be what they are. The bottom eight at any point, a match might be the difference, and we gotta do it in a studio. Fuck off.
Yeah, it's like, listen, part of me is, again, we knew this year was going to be a little wonky. This is hopefully something that, you know, the plans going forward help alleviate something like this from happening.
Just with, yeah, what we just talked about, increasing event subsidies. Can we start that now?
Yeah, like hopefully it solves that. You know, there's part of me that actually, just from a selfish like commentator standpoint, like there's something nice about like Columbus last year. It little more intimate, talk to the players more, hang out. It was kind of fun. Then there's the other part of me that, you know, this last major, you know, after that moron that tried to get fired was gone, and now we're actually, you know, casting again. First final we've done in years. You know, we're alternating with Miles Chance and having a blast. It was face optic. It was a hell of a time. Next time, yeah, we're gonna cast finals that it's gonna, yeah, be just in Burbank. So I'm also partly disappointed on that front, just because I've been doing this 11 years, 10 years, and it felt good to just be up in front of the crowd again for a final. It was a lot of fun.
And our crowds have been great, yeah, everywhere we go, which I think that's the other thing that sucks. Like, this is another opportunity for our fans not to be there. So not happy about this at all. Maybe I don't think they can figure it out now, but
yeah, is what it is. Just going to have fun, get a cast,
yeah,
enjoy the matches, but yeah, obviously not to. Not ideal, but what is ideal?
What is ideal? Roll it, baby. We do have Major 3 in Toronto, and, you know, ticket sales, you can buy them. Be there. Probably, I mean, Toronto outside of London is probably number one for me the last few years. The crowd's been fantastic. The venue, I mean, you've heard us talk about it on the podcast. Crowd, the venue, the area, food, Major W. Like no doubt about it. I very much look forward to going to Toronto every single time.
Yeah, I know this sounds like a hashtag ad because we're on the Ultra.
It's not
podcast, but no, we've said it. We've always said it. It's a whole lot of fun. The people there are amazing. It's always a blast. So if you haven't gone, good opportunity to do it. Come out and hang out, watch some amazing matches. Maybe Joe will pour syrup all over himself or something sexy like that.
Yeah, I'll give you a massage.
Damn.
Yeah, with maple syrup. Is that how you get massages? Like hot, like, you know how you like the hot oil? Do you, as a Canadian, maybe like it's maple syrup instead and you warm that up? Maybe. Think about it. You're not Canadian. You can't answer this. So how do you know?
I'd be willing to pay for that, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up when I'm there.
It just draws a line. Can I get a
maple syrup,
like,
massage?
Kind of awesome, but also like half waxing. You know, you got to be careful with that.
I need to get my back waxed too. I might be able to do both at once, like maple syrup.
That's what I'm saying.
Slash waxing. Okay. Yeah, no, I'll Google that.
Maybe I just thought of a new venture, a new business venture.
Yeah. You should look into that.
All right, let's get into the league. We're kind of at the midway point. So I just want to look at maybe the point standings right now, just to update everyone. It's also a great update for Maven and myself. FaZe is in first, 315. They've only lost four matches. Ultra is in second. They've only lost five matches. Then you have Optic New York. It's kind of how the year has gone. But this is what I was talking about, how like Major 4 is going to be, I mean, every major is very important. But from 12th to 5th, you have a 50-point difference. It is not much between our bottom eight. So every single match is that much more important for these guys. You have all these team changes coming in. Still trying to figure it out, but it is close. Like, in a way, it kind of sucks because the top four is so dominant, but now it's kind of created this end-of-season drama.
No, it's kind of like, I don't know, kind of how I view, like, F1 nowadays. Like, you know, Verstappen's going to win. Okay, let's look at the other interesting storylines. Like, you know, it sort of feels that way. Like, we know we have our top four, but yes, that usually means, when especially when they're that far out in front, that it's going to be a wild ride to, like, who's going to get into champs. So that'll be fun to keep our eye on it throughout. And you know, part of all this is everyone trying to scramble and improve as we get closer. Well,
it's
and closer
allowed
to that.
Them to, like, you know, like it's kind of like we have to make a move now. But everyone's pulling the trigger. Like, they just kind of know we have to figure out a formula to at least go, like, I don't know, 40% win rate from here. I don't know, 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And
depending on who you are,
we'll talk through some of the changes. We're going to start with the one that just sort of happened and then get into the rest that happened over the past couple of weeks. But what just came out, what, today? Or I think rumors yesterday came out today. Aseem coming in for Purge. And this one hurt me a little bit because,
yeah,
I'm really torn. Listen, I love Aseem as a person, as a player. I think he can really help this squad. But I don't know if I've ever told the full story of our love for Purge. I'm going to tell it now. Have I ever talked about it on this? There's no way I've talked about it on this, right? Nope. Okay. So it started as a meme. If anyone remembers back to Major 1, Purge, I think, set the record for the lowest KD in a winning series. He was one of the lowest KDs in the league. And it became this thing in the green room where we were sort of sarcastically rooting for them in the next series at Major 1.
Well, but we wanted to see, like, what is he doing? Like, yes. we purposely were like, let's just watch how he's playing.
So the whole green room is watching his arrow on the minimap. And we're like, let's go Purge. Like, Purge is final. Purge can't be. And we're, like, kind of trolling at first. But then we're, like, watching his arrow. And we're like, wait, he's always going the right way. He's making the right decisions. He got baited a bit there. Like, usually when you're watching as a casual fan, even us sometimes, you're just watching sort of the overall thing, not staring at one arrow on the map. And we're like, hold on a second. And then after the major, when they opt to get rid of Standee and not Purge, which was wild considering his statistics, we were like, okay, so we might have been onto something too then. Yeah. The coaching staff is probably seeing the same thing. Then right after that change, they start winning. We just more and more come to the realization that Purge is actually a fantastic player. And it's just a couple of, like, painful moments like that round 11 that's going to haunt him. And that's what everybody talks about. But Purge is a smart player. Like, does he need the gunny up a little bit against some of the top teams? Yes, but, like, he is way better than we gave him credit for at first. Like, he's a fantastic player.
No, it started out like that. He is very smart. He knows COD to a T. He put himself in the right positions. We were talking with other coaching staffs at the event. Like, they're like, no, like, he's really good. Yeah. I think what this is for Purge, or, well, for Vegas, is just that they feel they're close. This is probably the one team out of the bottom eights that is knocking on the door of the top four.
Yeah.
Right. They feel that way. And I don't really blame them. So they're probably thinking the only way we get in the mix is a change. And it sucks because Purge's stats versus, like, top teams, it's kind of the one thing holding him back. Like, there's just sometimes you can make all the right plays, but you gotta win some of these gunfights. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a big part of it. So Vegas is kind of going for it. Now, this could be one of those changes in 6 weeks where, like, they fucked up. Or it could be a stagnant, maybe plateau. Or it could get them competitive with the top four and we have a fifth team in the mix. Because they are very close. Everything they have made in terms of changes, role changes, bringing in Geo has been correct. They're getting better and better. They're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it pans out. And I think on the other side of it for Purge, like, if there are some of you that have just sort of, you know, there's sort of this trend on Twitter because of, you know, one big round or some of the bad maps he's had that he's shit. But I'm telling you, he is not. He will be back on a team. I would bet my soul that guy will have another spot in the league.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be this year, but hopefully
it'll happen.
I think people will recognize it, you know, and there's coaches that recognize it. So hopefully it does happen.
It was just like a funny story. Like, I don't even know. It was just such a weird thing. Like, it's not usually that the whole green room's like just having fun with it and rooting them on. But then we're like, wait, this kid's good. It was, it's just this wacky thing that sort of happened. But we'll see what happens. Feel bad for him.
For fucking ever.
No, I'm Purge's number one fan. No bullshit. Yeah. No bullshit. Like, you guys should see Nameless in the green room where he is excited about stuff. He's the funniest.
Bucket's got
in the
a
world,
video,
bro.
Dude. He's going to have to edit that at some point. It's so good.
It's so
good. We're all
good.
Going nuts. We're all going nuts.
Literally, it's just all rooting for Vegas. Such a little weird thing it turned from, yeah, meme to real. It was insane. But, okay, so that's the one that just went down. We'll see how that plays out. Excited to see what Aseem's able to do. Now we can go through some of the ones that happened. We'll start with Boston, which included Aseem earlier. So, what, Slasher and Aseem out? Beans and Pentagram in. Before we talk results, Joe, what were your kind of original thoughts?
Wow. You know, there was a lot that kind of happened, but they believe in Snoopy. That's what this is to me. We believe in Snoopy. He's good. Like, skill-wise, his POV is probably, like, the closest to Shotzi that we have.
I mean, he's really, like, in a rhythm and flowing. It's just...
Yeah. It's a different POV. It's flashy at times.
It's weird because, you know, you hear... I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle. You know, you don't really hear both sides. Mostly is here kind of the comments from Slasher. And Slasher is a very smart player, a guy that we trust and like a lot as a player. We're big Slasher fans. But, you know, he makes some comments that, you know, months into the game, you know, Snoopy didn't even know, like, hardpoint spawns at all, like, any of the maps, what it sort of sounded like. And I guess I kind of find that hard to believe, because when you're in that atmosphere and scrimming and comming as a professional, I'd be worried about a head injury at some point if you didn't know the spawns to some degree, or like that it would have popped up early. So maybe it's a little exaggerated, but there was something not there with regards to teamwork, comms, decision making, 100%. I don't think it's all fluff.
This is a change of the camp, really. That's just all it is. Sort of change up the vibe. Let's turn this year around again, just due to the fact that the bottom eight is the bottom eight. They have a chance to be champs, even they haven't won a match on land, right? So kind of what we talked about, they're going for it, they're making a play, they're trying to find some formula. Again, maybe not to be the best, but you gotta beat some of the bottom eight teams. That's it.
Yeah. Like,
obviously you want to win, but they need to be a middle of the pack team. I'm happy for Pentagram. I've heard time and time again about this guy. I'm happy he's in. He has been a sub. We heard Doug's rant. Bean's coming back. I think they're going to need a vocal guy, and he's him. So they obviously loved what he did last year. Immediately go back to that. You know, we casted their game 5 loss to Heretics. They blew that game too when they were up 5-2. S&D is going to be their kryptonite. It has been all year long. Can they turn that around? You still have Priesta, who you and I were just talking about how, like, fantastic he's actually been this year.
Well, like somebody, what was the graphic that I think, hold up, actually this blew my mind. I didn't really see anyone talking about it, but it was it Easy Mac that, hold up, I need to find this and say, cause it blew my mind.
Okay.
What the hell is Easy Mac's Twitter?
Hi.
Like, I am Easy Mac or something.
Mm-hmm. Hi. It's hi. I'm Easy Mac. Got it.
No, do you have it?
No, I
think there's like, I think there's like an underscore at some point.
Yeah, it's hi, I am underscore Easy Mac, dude.
Okay. Yeah. So it was okay. I remember it. I don't even know why I'm looking for it. Basically,
it's underscore Easy Mac. Okay.
There we go. It came down to, like, basically it was like a Celium stat, right? It was like the percentage of series you have were over a 1 KD, right? Yeah. Like Celium was leading the pack. It was something like 90% or whatever. All of the other people on the list made sense. It was like your top four teams, your Optic, your Ultra.
Yeah, Tash is in New York. Four, and then Priest is at 7.
Which I was like, wow, it shocked me, because when you think about the fact that they've won 5 series, that kind of blew my mind. I don't know what it says exactly. I just know I saw that. I was like, God damn, well, he's been frying and they've been struggling. It was my thought. That was like the one thing I took away from that stat. I was like,
yeah.
Didn't expect to see Priest on there.
So yeah, this to me is just changing the guard halfway through the year. Got to find something. So, surprise, Asim's back in the league now, so happy for him. I don't know what's going to happen to Slasher. He might just chill, maybe take a little break until next year, which Treyarch game, I'm sure he's excited for. Hopefully he's playing. That's the other thing I want him.
I mean, think about, you know, we talk about, like, Clay could have a movie. Slasher's past few years, I mean, he's basically down and out, then wins an event with LAG, then suddenly he's on phase, then suddenly he's getting dropped from Boston. Like, these past couple of years have been truly kind of nuts for him. But we'll see. I mean, I don't know if he's ready to hang it up. Probably not. There's still, obviously, he's got a ton of talent left in the tank, but he'd be a good asset doing something with an organization. I'm not really worried about that guy's future. Plus, he's major, like robotics engineering?
Robotic engineer. Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, he'll figure shit out. I'm not stressing about him. But final thing, I guess, is just, listen, teams like Boston and Rocker, it was very frustrating to watch them at times because it was like a little mistake would cost them. it's one series, but after the change, that's exactly the same shit. We'll break down on a map too, and suddenly you lost series. All right, on to LA Thieves. The fake Joey D back in the lineup.
Yeah, they. I mean, they have Legion's number. You know, I was just gassing up Legion. Thieves is another team to look out for. If they kind of get locked in, they could potentially challenge that sort of top four, middle of the pack. Again, they're sitting at 11th right now. It's 7-11, but it feels like they're close with some of these team changes. But they went into map five. They went 250-49. I think to me what this was is obviously Afro is maybe not playing his best. But I think they put Joe Deceives down in Challengers really just like find his game and confidence again. But it just felt like just he's talking with kid. Some of them, like young he was kid, young, maybe just gotten like in practice was cooking, got to matches, maybe just making a couple of wrong decisions that he wasn't doing and putting his team in a bad spot. So just sort of figure out that side of the game, play your game, and you could be a star. And that's why we were excited about this Thieves team. It's like it was just a team of potential coming into the year.
Yeah. No, we'll see. I mean, he comes in, has immediate impact. It was like the most, I guess, positive on the team. And okay, KD's not everything, but he has a big series, 12-5 in the Rio S&D, like a monster map there. More of a team thing, but I kind of am curious. You know, you always see the new maps come in. Sometimes people kind of pop off. I mean, that beating, what was it, 250-49? They won the 6-star. So it's one map. It's early on, but could it end up being a big hard point improvement for Thieves? Maybe. I mean, they end up being just kind of nasty at 6-star.
Yeah, then it'll get vetoed, but that's life. Yeah, so excited to see them battle more. Over to Seattle Surge, who is just another who is going to be on this team after each stage. It's luckily, again, they still have they're not in a horrible spot. They're sitting in the 9th seed. They're at 80 points because of Major 1. That's why they're here, right? Because they won those games, got to a top 6 spot. Could be a lot worse if it wasn't them. But RC's is out. They bring 0-4 in. So now your lineup is just a lot different than... Sorry, you have Hook, Brezzy, 0-4, and Abuza.
I'm excited to see some new talent. 0-4, we kept hearing the guy was frying. Excited to see how it plays out. Had some good maps. It is had some crazy. Bad maps. We'll see.
When you like have an AM come into the scene... Or like into the CDL, you can kind of go like to the COD wiki and look at their tournaments results who they've been playing with.
Yeah,
he's got an MW1 from 2022, a Cold War one, and then it was just like doing his thing off, and now he just has MW3 results, and now he's in the league.
Welcome.
So, won the last event at Miami with Classic Gunless and Dak, and is now in the league.
I'll be honest. I didn't know a lot about him until he got picked up. Right. It was just kind of hearing about that last Challengers tourney. So, I mean, you come in, you get a win. Yeah. He was a little all over the map kind of in that series. He kind of got fried in some, put up some nice numbers in others. How many you beat Carolina? I think it might say more about Carolina than it does them right now. I'm a little worried about Carolina after losing that series, but we'll have to see more. It's one series, excited for 0-4, excited for some new faces.
It was a 2-0 early lead for Surge. They win 6-star, then Invasion. Then they almost get reverse swept, but they win 6-star S&D in a game 5. So Hukos drops 11, Abuza drops 9. Not much to take of it, but yeah, I think my big takeaway is Carolina camp, I'm a little worried. I'm just a little worried on that front. Like, obviously, you're now all in Carolina, so hopefully things get better, but you and I were kind of talking like, all those roster changes early into Major 1 felt like you hit like a honeymoon period and then it's just gone away.
Yeah, I mean, you were what, a round away from maybe getting a bit deeper at Major 2? Crazy, like game 5, right? But we'll see. I don't know. I like the team. I mean, we were the biggest Carolina fans. We had a blast casting him, but it just seems like, yeah, kind of peaked and now it's been a bit of a skid. So we'll see if they can turn it around. Next to the team that frustrates me the most, probably outside of Boston.
They frustrate you.
Well, I mean, you think about Rocker, Major 2 qualifier, and like 5 game 5s or whatever the hell it was, just seemed like a troll map here and there, or a bad play, just a moment in a series, and they could have been, what did they end up, 2-5 or whatever it was? They could have been 5-2 very easily. The series go the other way, but what, you end up with Vivid and Awakening out, Standee and Gunless in. I mean, Standee, I feel like a guy never spends that much time out of the league. Like, he'll get dropped, and he finds a home pretty quickly, is due to sort of the raw skill he has. Gunless, we haven't seen in a while. I'm pumped to have Pierce back in.
Yeah, you know, we kind of talked about it, week one before we got matches started, just like, when was the last time? But he obviously, we were like trying to figure it out. But yeah, he had that stomach surgery in Vanguard when he was playing well on LAG, and then Spartan comes in and they win the event.
That's so a weird one.
He gets put into a tough spot.
Wasn't he nasty? Wasn't he like their best player before that went down too?
He was
one. I'm making that up.
I feel like he was getting better and better.
Yeah, vaguely just remember he was kind of frying right before the stomach stuff went down. But I also, my memory's all over the map with him. That guy was just every game. I feel like he was the best player in the game at some point. Like,
yeah, it was like one of the best players, and then just massive team drama. That's really it. Sort of. Now I'm not playing with this team. Bye. I'll just bench myself. Like, that happened a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, to me, this is just sort of. I was a bit surprised that they dropped two, because I didn't think stage two was. Like, maybe it was just a mental thing. I didn't think it was that bad. Maybe they're just thinking we have a chance to get these guys. Like, this is just firepower. You bring in Standee and Gunless. Just
what would you have done?
Consistent slaying.
Would you have done maybe just wake for Gunless?
Probably.
I know you're a big Vivid guy, so.
I don't know if I'm not like a, you know, Vivid is very inconsistent. But I think what it does is sort of, it's the lens dynamic. I think Vivid helps a guy out like Linz.
Yeah.
I don't, Standee to me doesn't. It's not a pace, someone who's going to, you know, set the pace on the map, bait for your star. It's just to me now, how uncomfortable is Vivid going to be? Maybe he's fine by that. Maybe it's not a big deal at all. Maybe him and Standee will have great chemistry. I just didn't think stage two was as bad as it was because how close some of those games were, but we're not in that camp. And again, if everybody else is making all these moves, they have the opportunity to do it. Maybe they're just going for it.
And I just don't know with Standee. I mean, you know the skills there, but like I think of all the, you know, times he's been dropped and issues he's had, like the recent one with Vegas might be the most telling. Just in the sense of like Purge was maybe the worst player statistically in the league. They get rid of Standee instead, and suddenly that team is like fifth best team in the league.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
I'm sure there's more to it than I'm saying, but like that was, I was like, hold up. I didn't think that was a good look for him, but
that's the only I'm worried about. You know, Awakening just wasn't him. Like they needed Awakening to be a star. You know what you're gonna get out of accuracy? Someone had to step up the slang.
Wake was turning into like Cammy V2, bro, in the sense of like it just turned into every time we talked about him. It was like, when's that guy back? When's he back? When's he back? It's all we said about Cammy for what felt like years. You know, Cammy, you know, he's gone to Challengers, is absolutely frying. Like, we know that guy's capable, maybe a mental thing, but like, he was so good in Cold War. We just kept saying, when's that coming back? When's that coming back? Same for Wake, like, just win. And he just never seemed to get back to that. So,
yeah.
Not going to be that guy, then gotta make a change.
Yeah, hopefully he rebounds. But yeah, Rocker, unfortunately for them, they just had two tough matches. They play FaZe in New York.
Yeah.
Which you and I kind of talked about on the broadcast going into the FaZe match. It's like, could be a good thing just to see how maybe skilled your roster is. And I think they showed it at times. I mean, you win a map versus New York, but it's also like, we're just trying to win CDL points. Like, so
yeah,
it's a bit back and forth, but they're in sixth place, right? Overall, they have 100 CDL points. It's not like time to panic. You're just hoping your schedule gets a bit easier.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that really jumped out at me too is just, I guess if you're bringing Standee, you kind of hope he's going to shoot with the shooters, you know, get some of the top teams. Granted, it's not as simple as that. It is a full team effort and they were getting destroyed, but he had like a 0.6 or something against New York. So those boys had him on clamps.
Yeah, FaZe, they played really well.
They did.
They had some close games, so we'll see how this Rocker team develops.
Well, next on to Heretics. It's been sort of this boy band of sort of swapping stuff around. Reminds us of like early Ultra with the CDL. Like, who's going to be the fit? We've been waiting to see more from Real. We were really excited about him. He gets into the mix and instant impact out the gate, at least from him.
Well, there's a couple of things, right? You had the Vickle role change, which was massive.
That's true.
Because now you have Metals at an AR, which to me is just really weird, because Metals in Journey, they were kind of the two like rivals constantly. Like, they were good stage one.
And I didn't know they were changing that. And then you said it mid-cast. I'm either. Like, great.
And I was like, hold on a second. Now Javi, Vickle, like, he's run a sub before. We saw last year. I just think it's going to take time for that to develop. But maybe this slows down Metals, lets him find some more kills, get his slaying going. But Real was fantastic. He looks really comfortable. It just feels like they're saying to him, how do you want to play this? Do whatever the hell you want. Like, we'll figure out the rest.
And especially what we saw in like the Search and Destroy, you know, strategies aside, like, there's usually kind of an island type player, right? Like, whether it's on offense, well, more on offense or defense, but like, you can be sort of that 3-1 setup. You'll see it a lot, right? Like, Real often seemed to be that island player for them. And maybe it's easier when you sort of come in, you're the new guy, and you sort of are making some individual decisions and finding timings. But like, he put up what it was like 10 and one and 11 in the other, like double digit in both Search and Destroys. They needed help in that mode, and he seemed to be a playmaker for them. And I think if you're going to get a playmaker in Search, that island guy could be massive for you. So, like what we saw, two maps, and it's against a Boston team is also trying to figure stuff out. But I think what's good though is what you said, like, we're assuming that Vickle is only going to improve. It takes some time to get that down when you're switching roles like that. If this is like the bottom and it's just going to go up, who knows?
Yeah. And yeah, to see Metals in this sort of role too, see how he kind of transitions. So it's like, as much as I'm excited to see more Real, I'm really interested to just see how the role swap plays out.
Sure.
Just weird to me, but
no, that's why we probably work well together. I just want to see Real like fry. I'm excited to see the new guy. You want to see how we work, dude?
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk maybe other sort of week one stories. Do you want to talk about like the couple notes about teams, or do you want to talk about like the GA thing that happened kind of leading into?
We can do the teams into one. The ordinance clubs. Yeah, we can do the team stuff first.
Okay. Randomly, I'm doing it in the wrong order, but I'm going to start with the Gorillas thing, because it still surprises me just how shit they can be online. Like, this is a team that, listen, I know they're not beating top squads, but you're what, back-to-back top sixes, right?
Majors. Yeah.
Back-to-back T6s. And you just come in and you haven't won a map yet. Granted, one's against Ultra, very strong team. One's against Vegas, who is also a very, very strong team, but sort of been a trend now. Like, they just can't find some easy points online, just find any points online. But thank God for the top sixes.
I mean, it feels like this four came into the year of, we're not going to make any changes. We're going to battle this out together, which I don't hate, right? This is a core group of four who have been in and out of the league, or maybe have had an opportunity once and they've lost that. And I've been in a similar position now with, like, you know, my Liquid team in the past, where you're just sort of like, listen, guys, we're not going to anyone else. We're not leaving. We're going to stick this out, and hopefully it pays off in the end. Like, this is a team that's hoping to just make it to champs, and hoping, I think by champs, you're in your best form, which they're playing well at LAN.
Because they've won, to get top six, you have to win two matches, right?
Yeah, so Major 2, they beat Rocker and Thieves. Major 1, they beat Vegas and Thieves. So
they have 7 total wins.
4 on LAN.
That's yeah. Some online woes.
The only problem is your whole, you know, when it gets down to nitty gritty, at champs time, you're going to have to beat one of the top 8. They haven't done that yet.
No.
Or one of the top 4.
Yeah.
But like I said, it just feels like the one team that hasn't made a change. And that's just, that could be, I you know, what I said, they're just going to go for it as a roster and try to be in their best form of champs. Maybe if this major doesn't go well, or stage doesn't go well, there's a change, but doesn't seem that way. Like, there's nothing, no talk from that side. Like, rumors and everything, like, nothing's really happened.
Gorillaz has never really, like, spent a ton or, like, made a ton of changes, right? It's kind of always been the same shit, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think.
Off the top of my head, I feel like it's always sort of been that. Like,
well, they've had, like, some rookies. They've always gone young. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. I just thought that, yeah, more wins already on land than online. We've had a lot of online matches. Just kind of nuts. The other kind of big point, I mean, not even big, it's just been a trend this time, just considering, you know, Optic kind of dominated the series for a couple of years. FaZe continue the trend. They get another win now over Optic. Hard points have been insane. I mean, the series has been banger after banger. You and I did the winner's bracket final. We did the final at the last major. These guys are slugging it out. Unfortunately, like, it just feels like Optic are a step behind in every mode. So it's just, I know the hardpoints have been really close, but if FaZe is going to be a better hardpoint team, I don't know how you're going to beat them.
Yeah, so here's sort of that breakdown. So they're all, the biggest one is 250 to 188, or no, 250 to 169 is the largest one, but you can just see in the past five.
Wild.
You have a lot of insane maps. Honestly, if you go back and, you know, I rewatched that series for my own content, but maps two and three, both the high rises, Optic probably, they should have taken one. In the high rise S&D, they had a lot of advantages they threw away. The high rise control, they threw like a 12 versus 5 or 13 versus 5 rounds. The opportunities are there.
You're not wrong. It's just, it's... I guess if I was convinced that this was, if I viewed it as like Optic are so close to winning these hard points, like it's just that close. Like if it was just that, I think I convinced myself like, all right, they're just a step away from beating them. But like, this has been FaZe's thing since the get go with this title. Like where we have been on them the past few years before this, where hard point has just not been good enough, where whenever it came down to the final couple of hills, they were throwing away games. They had no ice whatsoever. That has been their MO for like the last several years. This year's been the total opposite. Since they won this title, like they've been winning hardpoints, they've been winning close. There was that stat like after the first major where like they're like plus minus on hardpoints is basically even. It was like dead even because all their hardpoints have been so close. They've just continued to close out tight hardpoints. That's all they've done all year. It's not just against Optic. That's just like their DNA right now. So,
yeah. And then if you really deep dive into the series, I think we talked about in the green room, like the issue here, if you look at like the map vetoes, really what Opti has to do is they have to figure out either a Karachi or Rio, because they don't pick a Karachi, they pick Rio instead, which FaZe is undefeated on. You have to either figure out Vista 6-star, because I think they vetoed Vista. FaZe is going to play everything, right? We always know regular season, they're going to play everything and anything.
Except for sub-base, that's probably gone forever.
Maybe not. Maybe not everything. But yeah. I just, from a hardpoint perspective, you got to figure out, I feel like, one of those between Karachi and Rio to make it stronger. In last stage, it was the Karachi they really worked on, but at the major, they fell short on those Karachis, right? Obviously, like, that Simp 13 spree really changes that. But nothing you can really do with that, but we'll see. It's still work to do. They're close, though. Like, Optic's right there. They are there.
Yeah.
But FaZe, it's just flipped. It's flipped. A FaZe... they just it feels like they're so confident versus team where last year it was just like they can't figure out Shotzi and Hook at all. Now like, all of a sudden they can handle it. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think.
Well, Draza, yeah.
Yes, we thought. Listen, love or hate Draza, his impact on this team, we thought more than even being a good player was going to be his just whole vibe. Like the guy oozes kind of swagger and confidence. Like he's going to talk shit and take whatever on social. We thought he would level up them a little bit from a confidence standpoint, which I think has certainly happened. He's just been kind of unreal for them against in these big time matchups too. Like he isn't, I don't know. Yeah, try away from like anything. Like it's exactly
the CEO of Optic and he's just kind of doing it.
Yeah. It's exactly what he needed. Now. Yeah. You give kind of Simp and Abizi guys confidence in this matchup again and kind of run away with it. But, would I be surprised if I Optic Rio them in a match? No, 100% not. It's also, the other point I want to make is also probably a little bit like the maps they're good at and what they want to play. You start talking about Karachi and Ria, but you think about titles like the past couple of years. Yeah, you know, we had a lot of like 17 lane maps disguised as 3 lane maps. And, you know, for people like Hook and Shotzi, you know, them kind of wreaking havoc on FaZe, you watch it time and time again. Like, you know, watch a Hydro and someone's taking a water route and it's like, oh my God, like they just 5-piece them, like all these insane moments. Like, say what you want about this title, but most of the maps are pretty, like, I talk about spawns all you want, but pretty like solid, like COD maps, you'd say, right? Like, pretty,
getting, I think, with especially the newer editions, 100%.
It's like a lot of
the pool, but yeah, it's not a major factor.
It's like a lot of stuff where like FaZe can play kind of like straight up like they want to, if that makes sense. Like, it's not a lot of like messy moments. It can be a little structured like they want it to be. It's probably a part of it too.
Yeah, it's easier to sort of track players and where they're
going. I think so. When FaZe is very vulnerable at times, when they just lose track of stuff and things would spiral out of control. Not as much of it this year, but we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, off to the last part. You know, this was really before the stage 3 started, but the GA of Ordnance Clubs coming into this stage, we saw New York have just some nerdy moments throughout Major 2, which was awesome. They hit Karachi nades across the map. They had wall bangs on Invasion.
Let's watch the clip first. How about we watch the clip, okay, and we'll talk about it. Let's take a look. We got a clip here, okay, from the Major when New York kind of took advantage of these clubs.
Chelsea's number. Here comes the nades. Un, deux.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, I mean, he's in spawn, like legitimately 2 steps off spawn. So this, the people that were saying like this shouldn't be GA'd is people that played Ghost Search and it had Strong Arm. And Strong Arm was fantastic because it opened up a lot of creativity. You could stun crosses. I don't remember. I think the problem here to me is probably frag grenades. I feel like nobody really ran frags in Ghosts. There was a lot of Semtexes, or maybe you just couldn't throw nades due to the point system. I forget exactly how it worked. I think stuns are really the big thing here where it can get interesting. If you could stun across, it changes up the timings, it forces tack mass. It can get very interesting. I think most people's complaints were just like, you're literally nading someone 2 steps off spawn. Now, they could just wait for it the more and more that happened. It's a piece of creativity that they had in the back pocket. So I love that part. I get the other part, though, where you're
wrong, Matt.
Literally 2 steps off map.
I hate being like wishy-washy on things, but I just don't care enough either way. Like, I like a little creativity. Our game can be kind of bland with everything we have GA'd. At the same time, I get how it is cheesy as hell.
I think you're getting
it. Let the players figure it out and fight it.
That's the problem. I think it's just the frag part of it, because you're finding kills literally 2 seconds in the round, where maybe if that was a stun and that opens up like a coop rush for the defense, like that could be really cool. So that's what I would do if I was them. I would just GA nades with Ordnance Clubs. But yeah, that's not me. I'm not a player.
Big deal, the commissioner. All right. Well, outside of the change, we talked about the maps that have come in. What? It ended up being 6-star Hardpoint, 6-star S&D, Vista Hardpoint. Out was Invasion Hardpoint, Skid Row Hardpoint, and Terminal S&D. So those are the changes coming into the Major. You know, we talked about it on broadcast and stuff. But I think overall, Joe and I are thrilled because, listen, when you commentate a long time, sometimes just having a little bit added color makes a difference. No bullshit. Like, if I casted 3 Arden Forest in a row, or I cast 3 Invasion in a row, I want to fucking vomit. So it already just looks better when I look at the overall best of 5. Only thing I probably would have changed is probably got out Subbase Hardpoint and kept Skid Row Hardpoint, because I think I like commentating Skid Row. I think it's very easy to watch and digest. Yes, there are some hardpoints that are very difficult, but I think it was very watchable. Very good from like a watchability standpoint. Whereas Skid Row is just...
Yeah. Skid Row is just... on the truck. I don't know. You mean?
Oh, sorry. Subbase.
Yeah, I'm also. Yeah, I don't love Subbase the way it plays. It's just very watchy. I would have loved Skid Row being in. I think also a control maybe in there would have been great. Listen, this whole process, I've talked about this. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. I'm sure
you have at some point. Yeah,
it fucking pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, we're just like looking at Twitter, like, you know, Joe and I are streaming gaming every day, and we're like, do we know what maps are playing? Do we know if they're testing maps? Like,
we might be testing maps. Like 2 days before the stage, I had to watch some scrims, like a couple days. I was watching bots on my stream Friday morning of matches. Yeah,
it just seems like, listen, there are complaints about having 2 weeks off after the major. It seems like that'd be a nice window to have a good process to do this stuff, but it's even never existed. That,
Vista's been out. And this is where I go into.
I'm not saying CDL issue or teams issue.
I'm not saying pros have to do this, but you could get myself, Nameless, Study, Jay. You can band together 8 X pros or 8 smart people and run a week of this stuff and try to figure it out. Now, I think this is a more complex issue in the fact of hopefully we don't have to do this much more often. Like if a new map that's good pops in, like hopefully our map set for the next couple of years is better.
Yeah.
Again, if anybody played MW2 2009, like I did, and I was like, oh, I wonder how these maps will work for control and hardpoint. Probably not good. And they didn't, but nobody thought of that. And so like, this is where I just like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? And like, I don't even want to make like Dez mad. They shouldn't even have to fucking worry about where hard points are placed, right? Like they really shouldn't. Instead, what should probably happen is like you let pros practice or try out some of these maps again, or just some sort of committee. And then if we don't, we should have like a CDL pack year to year. It's in that way. Okay. We're going to try to use as many of the base maps that are coming out that we release with. But then we're going to have a CDL pack that's going to have like raid and standoff in it. And in case we need to add or get rid of a few maps, we'll just throw those in there because they work.
You know the John C. Reilly
meme? Why not?
The John C. Reilly meme? It's like looking up and trying to figure something out. Like that's what I just picture like the devs just looking at hardpoint spawns in the map. Just like,
even the Vista one, like, come on, man. We couldn't move P3 and P4. Like, come on. Just give me, just send the picture to me with the rotation that you want, and I'll tell you where you should put it. That's it. Just send it to me. I'll do it. I'll fucking do it. I will. Like, I swear to you, I used to do it. No one, I'm not even asking a dev to have to worry about this. I agree. They probably shouldn't even have to worry about this. Like, put your base, whatever, and then I'll be like, nah, do this here, and then we're good to go. I don't know. This shit just irks me because we shouldn't have to have this problem.
I know, but listen, Joe, we just show up and have fun now. We're vibe guys. You know, we're vibe you're guys.
Right. I'm a vibe guy. When I'm seeing this stuff time and time again, I'm like,
yeah, I know.
We're still having this issue.
We just don't need to piss anybody else off, Joe. They already tried to fire us once.
Oh, we got Treyarch, right? Next year, we're good, right?
Oh, we're good. I think they like us.
I mean, again, but like other games, if you have good maps, you carry them over. I'm just saying, we can, again, focus on the maps that are on release, but if they just happen to be shit for competitive, we just bring in some of the old school ones. It's easy peasy.
Okay, well, poor Joe.
That's all I have.
Poor Joe goes on too much of a dev and spawn rant because I know it gets you fired up. It kind of turns me on a little bit when you get so fired up. But like,
I don't think they can explain the spawn system. Okay.
Oh, no. Let's take a look at the schedule for this week and where we're going. These are our matches, Joe. I need to pop off the page to you.
I mean, obviously the last one, Ultra versus FaZe. Ultra fans also have Ultra versus Miami, which... you know, Vickle and Scrap love playing each other. I'm pretty sure Scrap hasn't lost that one yet. Two great pals. We got 3 per day. Besides that, Miami and Thieves is another one that pops out to me that I'll be interested to watch. Same with Optic in Vegas, just to see how his team does.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to kind of wrap it for our chats. I mean, a lot of big stuff out of the CDL, a big announcement, a lot of the team changes went through that. This episode is a little bit bittersweet for us because this is actually kind of our final episode that we've been contracted to do with Ultra. So shout out to them. It's been amazing. Their support of us and, you know, kind of the back and forth we've had has been great to work with them. As far as going forward, I don't know yet. I mean, hopefully we'll work with them again in the future. Maybe Joe and I'll end up doing some episodes, just the two of us.
That's why it's been a bit delayed. they
figuring stuff out.
If you saw the news, it's good news. You know, they're partnering with Koi and Movistar Riders, which is a giant gaming organization over in Spain. So they're going to have lots of fans, and there's some restructuring on their side, and this stuff happens.
Oh, a lot going on with the CDL as well, as you saw coming out. So let's figure out. But hopefully, you know, we love working with them. Hopefully we'll do more. But I don't know what we're going to do yet. Because listen, when we were doing the episodes, it was really great. You know, back when we were just doing part-time at the majors, it was honestly, we didn't get to watch every match. Like catching up to date and talking through stuff was really great for Joe and I. But yeah, now that we're casting every single week and streaming and stuff, I'm not really sure. And you've got a kid now. We'll see. Stuff to figure out for us as well. But for those of you who enjoyed the show, we love you.
We appreciate the support.
Love you. Been a lot of fun.
See you in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have more fun in the future. Yeah, see you guys in Toronto. You're all sexy as hell. Everyone have a great day. Joe and I are about to go on a walk in a thunderstorm. Maybe get a little bit freaky outside.